What is going on, good people? It is season 2 of the Single, Obsolete, and Dangerous podcast. A podcast where black folk and white people can come together and talk about racism, white supremacy, and white people, but in a constructive manner. We have finished season 1. We are in the midst of season 2. I wanted to give kind of an update. I've been receiving a lot of information and contacts. Everyone's waiting for season 2. They want to know what's going on with season 2. As it relates to the functioning of podcasts and how you do podcasts, I'm learning every day. You know, we do as a podcast, the crew and I, we do something that's kind of like coined as guerrilla casting. So we're not at a stationary space. We have kind of equipment to where that we kind of go around to meet people where they're at, as long as we get at a quiet spot. So throughout season 1, there was, where did we go? We were in the Starbucks, was in the studio, is in a library, was in a car. There was a couple times we were in some cars, at the university, you know, found a quiet spot up at the university on campus, you know, outside, the birds chirping. So there was that was kind of a dynamic type of situation as related to podcasts. So I enjoyed that. That kind of kept us mobile. Another part also was we wasted no time in between recording, editing, and posting. So towards the later end of the season, the sound engineer and us, like, we all kind of work together. We kind of learn how to do a lot of pre-recording, a lot of pre-organizing, pre-engineering, so that as soon as it was done, uncut, unfiltered, and we would post that episode literally within the hour of the actual interaction. So that was dynamic and free. So each week or each week and a half, you had a fresh new episode that literally happened, that, you know. So that was kind of special. That was a great experience. From what I've learned, from what I understand, that's really hard to do. That's hard to do as a first season. And then that's hard. And then also to do it to the notoriety and the recognition that we wound up receiving was also another kudos. That was like a big thing. So I kind of sat back, rehashed my craft. I'm honing my craft. And so in the entire season 2 is being pre-recorded. The editing is going through a little bit more of a judicious process so that it is more dynamic and more clear and better. So I wanted to make this episode just to kind of let you know what's going on, kind of talk about some stuff a little bit as well, and just give you an update what's going on as well. So that's kind of like the housekeeping things. So season 2 is underway, and you don't have nothing to worry about as it relates to season 2. It's getting pre-recorded, and we are going to be dropping it very soon. Some things that also wind up after we culminated last season, we wind up getting a little bit of recognition. We wind up getting shared a couple times by quite a few notable people. Wind up having a private conversation with a news correspondent, which will have to remain nameless because they want to do an episode. So, but I did not know that my podcast was like enjoyment listening to while they do their morning cardio, which was deep. So it was a white woman. It's a white woman. It's a news correspondent, white woman from a major network. and I had no idea that she was listening, so she's like enthralled. So, but she doesn't. We're doing an episode, so you'll see later on who it is later on in the season. So that was good. That was pretty good. Another thing that I was really kind of taken back, with Anchor, I was able to set up some sponsorship, so you can sponsor, and I want to literally thank everybody who actually donates monthly and supports the podcast. Like, I actually take care of three bills with it. I take care of my Netflix, I take care of my Spotify, and I take care of my Hulu accounts with that money. So you know you're making money and you can take care of your bills. So like my streaming services and my life is taken care of by the support of people who support the podcast, which was great, which is, I think, is awesome. So thank you for those monthly supports. And I think there's going to be some more dynamic stuff that's going to happen throughout the season, this second season. And so we'll see what happens. I've been approached to do this podcast under a Google. Google did a big national search for, I guess, innovative new podcasts. So there was I made it through a couple rounds now. And so now there's like a training and a process to kind of go through. Google is setting it up. And so there's like one more tier to see in the competition to see. And I'm one of the finalists to make it. So if I'm a finalist, you're a finalist. So if you're listening and you participate, like your participation in listening is part of, you know what I mean, this growth. So I just want to say again appreciate that. So as it relates to the SOD, right, single, obsolete, and dangerous, this is blossoming and growing farther than I had ever imagined. I'll be honest, I knew that it would do what it's doing, but I didn't think it was going to do it this fast. I figured I'd have like 3-4 seasons just archived, and then another would transpire with me. And then as soon as people start digging around, it's like, oh, this dude has his own podcast. Oh, he has 3 seasons of a podcast. What is he talking about? And then they just get hit with the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? So, but hey, I'm not getting in the way of it. I appreciate it. So this season, what I want to prepare you for is this season, we're going to do more dynamic interactions, more than one-on-ones, because I kept it very intimate and very singular. A lot of times there were people, it seems like it's debative. You know, there is a certain level of contention between our interactions. So it seems like there is kind of like an opposing presentation of ideas. And what was presented seemed like it was expressed that I may have been a little bit too forbearing. I was a little bit too much on point with the information. So for most people, they kind of conceded based upon their ill, not being prepared and things of that nature. So what we're going to do is we're going to raise the stakes a little bit. So there's going to be more than one concepts and ideas at a time. So meaning like it would be myself and I guess me interacting with 1, 2, or 3 individuals at a time to kind of just bring a little bit more of a dynamic. You know, in podcasting, it's hard when you start having multiple voices and things get convoluted. But I kind of invested in some equipment that will allow everybody have a chance to kind of say what they need to say and be clear about it. And also don't feel like I was beating up on them or anything like that, because I didn't want that to come off like that. You know, that was some of the concerns they were saying, yo, you seem like you were just beating up on people. So I don't want that. And so I want them to kind of arm themselves as well. Also, with this pre-record, I'm more intentional about getting more white people. Oh man. And some of the episodes that we already done so far, man, it's kind of dynamic, so you guys are really gonna like that. That's gonna really be intense. Let me see what else. So yeah, that's just a little bit of a kind of housekeeping, just kind of bring you abreast and up to date. There are some new concepts that and some new ideas and revisioning of ideas and terms and terminologies. You know, if you were listening to a lot of the episodes, you would see that there were points in times where I was kind of regurgitating kind of a specific rhetoric. Okay, and it's on purpose so that it kind of keeps a certain uniformity, and then also the person who's listening or the people who are listening, because they're following the podcast, they also are learning it too. So a lot of the times how I'm interacting with some of the guests, I'm also mimicking and presenting a lot of those linguistic equations, you know, because it is an linguistic, it is a specific equation as it relates to what's being said, why is it being said, and who's saying it. And so when it comes to this racism thing, at this point in time, at this juncture of history, at this time, it's very, very real. It's very, very on point. You know, our current administration as it relates to Donald Trump and his administration is not something new, right? You know, the podcast is an extension of my Facebook. So if you're one of the people that follow me on Facebook, you'll see that kind of a lot of my posts and stuff like that kind of coincides with a lot of my episodes. I've been also to share, my posts on Facebook also kind of, I'm trying to make it kind of more of a broad, I guess, content, because I was just solely sticking it out about racism, white people. Now kind of talk about relationships and talk about being single, and you know, so a lot of those posts, some of that may bleed into, but ultimately it's all a vein line, right? So one thing that I'm always expressing and always talking about is kind of the out of mind, the sickness that we as non-white people, particularly black folks, suffer from because we are living in a system of white supremacy. So there is, I'm sharing some of that kind of illness, right? So that illness plays out in our lives, in our relationships, in our parenting, in our friendships, how we do business. Like, all of that is all fucked up, you know? All of that creates chaos and confusion. So I'm presenting that as well. So it's not just Austin, you know, he figured it out. Like, no, I'm just as fucked up as you two. Like, you know, I have an issue. I have trust issues in relationships, but I can follow the vein line, you know, of my trust issues that's systemic from me experiencing racism, white supremacy. Like, you know, I fuck up money too. I fuck up at jobs. You know what I'm saying? And with all my own actions, but I can see where the influencing factors in my actions come all the way back to racism, white supremacy. And it's not that I'm not blaming, and I'm not condoning any of those actions that I exhibit or that anyone else who's not white exhibit. I just know that those actions and those decisions are being made under duress. See, if you ask somebody or you present somebody for somebody to say something, to think something, or to do something, they're not doing it in a vacuum. So they're not just like willy-nilly, you know, nothing is influencing anything that they decide to do, right? We are 100% influenced by the environment that we are in. Like, so this is very important to understand. And so if there is a malbehavior, or if there is something that's presented that seems non-constructive, right, we try to put the onus on the individual, which is true to a degree, but it is not solely upon that individual outside of the environment and influence that created the condition for these decisions to be made, you know. And so the subtlety of this system, the subtlety of this mistreatment and subjugation, has created conditions for folks, especially particularly Black folks, to make decisions that are completely non-constructive without us even being aware. We make decisions. So we think that we're free, right? And in some degree we're not, but we think that, oh, I decide, I make the decision, so I'm responsible for, yes. But it is not a freedom of choice if the options for you to choose have already been chosen for you to pick, right? So it's like if I had my son or my daughter, right? So this is like a parody thing, right? If I ask them, it's like, what do you want to eat, right? If I ask my child what they want to eat, that means anything as it relates to the food in the world that could be eaten, he or she, my daughter or my son, like, they can pick anything, and I left it open for them to pick. And that would be a semblance of free will and freedom to choose. And whatever they said, because I asked them, what is it that you want to eat? Anything that you want to eat, tell me what you want to eat. Now, this is what we think is happening with us when it comes to white people and racism and shit. Like, we out here like, yo, you free to do whatever you want to do. But this is what happens. I take my son or my daughter, right? And I take them to KFC. And I put them in KFC. And I said, hey, what do you want to eat? Now, could they say, I want McDonald's? Yes. But if I already put them in KFC, I put them in front of fried chicken, I don't tell them, you're going to eat fried chicken, we're going to eat at KFC. I just says, man, what do you want to eat? I've already kind of presented in an unconscious, subconscious way that whatever you do pick, it's ultimately going to be KFC. And when I say, what do you want to eat, you're going to look at the menu of the KFC and pick from the menu that I've already chosen for you to pick from. That's what the fuck is happening. Black folk are taken into KFC, no pun intended, and asked, what is it that you want to eat? Because you're free to pick what you want to eat. Knowing very good and well, the motherfucker who brought us in that bitch already knew that we were going to pick KFC and decided to pick the chicken that we were going to eat. That's what's happening. That's the illusion of freedom of choice in this system. They give you the concept of choice, but they already created the options for you to choose. So if you have a young Black male in a neighborhood, right, and you present only the things that you created for him to pick from, he's going to either pick what was presented for him to pick. There's never going to be an idea or concept for him to pick anything that is not presented or in his environment to pick. I do not expect him to ask me like, well, you know what, now that you ask me, I really want Chipotle. Since we're in KFC, I can smell the chicken. I'm in front of the chicken. My sister's getting chicken. You're getting chicken, Dad. But guess what? While we're here, I want Chipotle. Could they give me a Chipotle here? No, they can't. Matter of fact, why are you even asking that? You're either going to eat. So, either you're going to eat or you're not going to eat. But you got to pick something to eat. So, this is what's happening. So, we in this neighborhood, it's either you're going to go to school or you're going to go and do some other illicit things, right? Either which way, the school that you pick is the school that I created for you to learn an inferior education from, or the things and that I laced your community with drugs that'll send you into the penitentiary, which I got set up ready for you there, or dead, either way. You see what I'm saying? And then we turn around and we look and we're like, oh man, they had the chance to choose. They never chose anything that was outside of what was already presented for them to pick from. So in essence, that is not choice. That's not freedom of choice. That's just a more refined form of slavery. And that is where we're going to focus on in this season. The refinement of the system of white supremacy. That is what we're going to focus on. How refined is it? How is racism? Give me an example. So, is there a way, can you give me an example where there's racism in front of you, but you just didn't think it was racism? Right? Or there's something that everyone keeps calling that's something that's racist, and according to you, that's not really racist. Explain to me, well, how is that not? Because what's going to happen is this information and this interaction or this conversation is to develop some critical thinking, some sit back, let me think things out, let me figure this out real quick. And so I just wanted to kind of just have this little interaction to let you know that season two, we're going to be focused on the refinement, right? How is it refined to the point to where you can't see it? To where that is happening, that is more pervasive, it is much more destructive now, right now, as you're hearing my voice, than it was literally 400 years ago. August 20th, 1619, Jamestown, Virginia, right? Literally exactly 400 years ago. So, that's it. Please. If you have any questions, you can email me. I'm on Instagram, right? So I was going to make a separate Instagram, but I like to make it integral. So my Instagram is at Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N, Ausar, A-U-S-A-R, all together. So Austin, Ausar, as Instagram, and I'm on Facebook. So you should try to get at me on Facebook. It's not hard to find me on Facebook. It's Austin Richardson the second. So you'll see me there. Just get at me. Oh, if you can't get out there, you just want to email, then email me at AOR2, the letter N as in Nancy, D as in Dover, at gmail.com. That's the other piece I want to set up this season. So this season is not just going to be interviews, but it's also going to be kind of the write-ins and the questions that are presented. And then what I'll do is I'll literally take about 4 or 5 questions and just break out and do an episode answering 4 or 5 questions that are presented. So please hit me up. Let me know what's good. Ask some questions. That's it. I appreciate you guys. All right. Peace and blessings.